First Peter, would you go there? First Peter. You're feeling a little slow this morning. Brother Scott's brain's feeling a little slow this morning too. First Peter chapter 2, I want to mention here just a quick review over what we looked at last week. Of course, we are dealing with making the most of the treasure in your hand. I hope you see the Bible as that. But putting an emphasis here on how to read the Bible. Boy, that sounds simple, and yet there's so many people today who do not know how to read the Bible. We're going to focus on three primary categories, and we're really going to give you three questions to ask as you read the Bible. But before we get into that, we need to finish up last week's lesson, which brings us to 1 Peter chapter 2. And last week, if you were here, we talked about how does this book benefit me. I think, again, if we're going to see the value of the book that we hold in our hands, we need to know how it impacts us. We talked a little bit about this last night, but nonetheless, we're systematically approaching these things, and we're going to start off by reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Notice what it says. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide our study today, Lord, that we would be asking ourselves the question, Lord, how better can I understand your word? And Lord, how can I better, Lord, grow in you? I pray, Lord, that you'd give us some insights, you'd remind us of our weaknesses, and Lord, just show us that we can grow in those areas, and Father, that you care about us. Lord, we love you and ask these things. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me just mention this, of course, if you did not hear it already, but Erica had their baby last night, and I think rush night maybe had a lot to do with that. We don't know. We never will know. But the baby came and got a text somewhere around 5 in the morning that Ezra Joseph Gardner was born, 8 pounds, 1 ounce. And all the guys are like, all the girls are like, oh. Yeah. All right. Well, how many of you actually have Brother Nathan's number? Any guys that have Brother Nathan's number? You know, no? Okay, one. How many of you ladies have Brother Nathan's number? Okay. I was going to say Miss Erica, but you have Miss Erica's number? No? Yeah. Okay, a couple. All right. Well, you might send them a text today if you have that. They'd be encouraged by that. Okay. All right, so we looked last week at, Bible study is essential for growth. Growth is important. You want to grow as a person. There's a lot of categories that we can grow in, but certainly spiritually is an important one. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about having a spiritual appetite, an appetite for God's Word, an appetite for growing in Him. And Peter discusses these things and how important they are. And just as he uses here the baby analogy, we should have the baby's analogy for milk and the desire for milk, we should have a desire as well. We also see Bible study is essential to spiritual maturity. We talked about the fact that spiritual maturity is a listening thing. When we are hearing what is being said, when we learn to listen well, we can learn to grow well. It's a listening thing. It's a time thing. Maturity takes place over time. We talked about that. Sometimes we can get frustrated with our lack of growth or where we are in the Lord. And boy, I just want victory in this area. And some things are harder than others. Some things we have to work on more than others. And that's all part of our growth, all part of our maturity. So spiritual maturity is a listening thing. It's a time thing. And really, the defining aspect of spiritual maturity is the obedience thing, right? It's not how much you know, but it's how much we're putting into practice. And that's what Peter says. Look, the group that he was writing, he says, look, you guys know a lot of things, but you still need to go back to the fundamentals because you're not doing the fundamentals. I want to bring you on to meet, but I can't because you still have need of the milk of the word, the basics, so to speak. And so spiritual maturity here is an obedience thing. But I wonder if I could just flip this around to you guys and I could ask you this question. How have you seen yourself grow in the Lord? Let's just say the last 3 years. How would you say, what area would you say that you have seen yourself change for the better because of the Lord, because of His Word? What steps of spiritual maturity has taken place in your life? And I know we have to be a little bit vulnerable here to give feedback on this, but I think it would be encouraging for us. Anybody willing to say an area that you've seen growth in your life? Yes, Ellie. Okay, dependence on the Lord. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's something that had to be learned, right? I mean, we all have to learn that. And some people have to learn that sooner than other people. I don't know that that's a lesson that I had to learn real early on in my teen years. There are a lot of things maybe that were done for me. I didn't think about it so much, but I'll tell you, the older I've gotten, the more my dependence has had to grow in the Lord. That's a good one, Ellie. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody else? An area that you have grown in the Lord? Yes. Okay. All right. Fantastic. That's wonderful. Prayer and studying the Bible. That's good. Who else? Who else? Yes. Okay. Yeah, great. More faithful in the Word and daily devotions. Wonderful. That's good. Somebody else, an area that you've grown in. That's good. Yes. Okay. All right. Good. Good. Very good. Yes. Okay. Trusting in the Lord. Very good. Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. These are really good. How many of you have ever struggled with your attitude? Anybody ever struggled with your attitude? Okay, all right. How many of you would say, I think maybe when it comes to my attitude, there was a time that I struggled maybe more than I do now, and I've maybe grown in that area. Anybody like that in particular? Grown in your attitude? Okay, all right. What about have you ever struggled with respect? Respecting an authority figure that you know that you should, or maybe it was a teacher, or maybe it's a parent, or something of that nature, and you're like, I know I need to, but I struggle in this area, and maybe that's you. Maybe you say, well, this is now that I think about it, maybe this is an area that I've grown in. So there's a number of different ways that we can grow in. If you're here this morning and you say, I have not grown in any area over the past 3 years, that's a problem. Okay, that is a problem, because what does that mean? Well, you guys help me out. If somebody was here and they're saying, oh, I haven't really grown in any area over the past 3 years, why is that an issue? What do we know about that individual? Yes. Could be. Yes.
They don't have a high interest in spiritual things.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Yep. Michaela? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Yes?
They're not learning to depend upon God.
Okay. All right. Jaden?
They're not taking the things that your church to heart.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yes. Okay. Not applying. Yeah. Okay. I also think that that's probably a very prideful person, right? You know, somebody who's arrived at the place where they think that I'm good. You know, no, you're not, okay? Nobody is, right? I mean, we all should have a desire to grow, okay? Number of these reasons could be the case. But what's important is that this is important to you, and that you say, okay, I see that the Lord wants me to take steps in my growth with Him. And the question is, am I growing? when I look to the categories of my life, am I further down the road than where I was, you know, 2-3 years ago? And hopefully you can answer that question with an emphatic yes. So the Bible is essential to growth and spiritual maturity. Let me give you the point we didn't have time for last week, and that is Bible study. This is the third and final point when we're talking about how does the Bible benefit me? And the Bible study is essential to spiritual effectiveness. Spiritual effectiveness. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, the Bible does not hide why it's important for all of us. In fact, it's pretty open and tells us. It's not hidden. It just shows us and reveals to us exactly the purpose for God's Word in our lives. So we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 a category here of different things whereby the Word profits us. Look at verse 16. It says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or we could say the woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So there are several categories here, but essentially what this is saying is the Bible study is essential to spiritual effectiveness. Notice the sequence that is given here by Paul to Timothy. He says, number one, the Bible shapes how we think about life. The Bible shapes how we think about life. You know, everybody has a set of principles, and thought process by which they live life. Even people who do not believe the Bible operate according to a certain set of principles. They may just say, well, I love everybody. I'm open to everything. Okay. Well, yeah, that's your mindset. Okay. Even somebody who says, I don't have a set of principles, they do because they've resigned themselves to having no principles, which is a principle in itself. So the Bible does shape how we think about life, and that's where for doctrine and for teaching here that Paul talks about, all Scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine. This is the teaching. Okay, if we're not thinking correctly, we're not living correctly. What we believe will determine how we behave. So the Bible shapes how we think about life. And that's really important. There's so many things about the Bible that I just love, and about the Lord is that he gave us a system by which we can live life. And it's not just a system, but it's a relational thing. Okay, because he is with us always, but it is a system that works. As you read through Proverbs, you will find Solomon is giving his son a set of principles to live by, and that will allow him to do well in the world God has created. There is so much conflict out there today. You look at the business world, and I love to read about just what's going on in business. I find it fascinating. You look at every spectrum of this world, and you will find that there is a lot of conflict. And so much of that conflict has to do with lying, cheating, a lack of integrity. I mean, you can go down the line in regards to character. And most of the problems that rise to the surface are because there is a breakdown of character in some particular area. Okay? Well, when you look at that character and the conflict that comes when people don't have it, you say, okay, well, why is it that character allows things to run well? Okay? Who created those character traits? You know, why? Well, it's because God designed us, God designed the world, and there's a certain way that it flows and works together. Now, obviously, when people have their eyes fixed on the Lord and have a relationship with him, that goes to a whole nother level. Okay, but you will find whether God has you on the mission field or God has you in business someday, you will find that there are a set of principles that are asked of employees, and when everybody abides by those things that many times are tied to biblical principles, things go very well. But things begin to break down when character is ignored and so forth and so on. So the Bible really gives us a system by which we can live our lives, and it teaches us how to live in God's world well. And so that's the doctrine part of it. It shapes how we think about life. And of course, he's a relational God, and we can walk with him every day, and that's the beauty of that. But the Bible reveals clear boundaries also. Number two, it reveals clear boundaries. Notice, not only does it say here that it's profitable for doctrine, but it's profitable for reproof, or we could say rebuke. In other words, it tells us when we're about to go over the edge of the cliff. Okay, I enjoy lines on the road. If the lines were not there, it gets very confusing. There are parts of the world that do not have clear boundaries marked. Okay, those are hard places to drive in and be on the road. In France, this past summer, we were driving around, and where there were clear lines, boy, that makes it really easy. But when there's not, it's like, whoa, what's going on? There was a lot of one-way streets in France, especially when you're downtown and around all the buildings, and you pretty much, you know, how do you know what's what? Well, there's no signs. They don't have just one way, you know. That's not going on. You have to figure it out, and you kind of have to know the area. But listen, when there's signs and when there's boundaries and there's lines, boy, that's when life becomes easier. Now, sometimes we scoff at lines, and we scoff at the boundaries. You know, we push the boundaries, right? We're like, hey, why can't we make the boundary out here? And why can't we just, you know, I have grown to appreciate the boundaries in life, because they keep Brother Scott from ending up off the cliff right over there. Okay, we don't want that, all right? I don't want that. And that's the rebuke part of God's word. It shows us, hey, you've gone too far. Hey, you need to turn back. Hey, there's a point at which this has become unhealthy for you. And that's where the Word of God can speak into our lives, and it can be effective not only for teaching, but for rebuke as well. The Bible reveals clear boundaries in our life, and I'm so thankful for that. The Bible tells us how to make things right, and boy, do we need instruction in that way. Look back at verse 16. It says, for doctrine, for reproof, but also for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Boy, this is huge here. Instruction in righteousness. Boy, well, what is the right thing to do? You ever ask yourself that question? You ever had a hard time distinguishing what the right thing is to do? Some things are really clear. Other things maybe are not so much. You know, what's the right thing to do here? Well, that's a tough place to be sometimes. But it's a question that we ask ourselves. And we need answers. And so the Lord provided His Word so that we can know the path to righteousness. What's the path, Lord, the blessed path? What is the direction to take here that You would be pleased with? Lord, can You instruct me in the right way to go? And that's what God's Word has been given for. It's so that when you are in seventh grade, when you are in 10th grade or you are a senior, you can go back to God's Word and say, Lord, I need direction from You. Would You teach me what the right thing is to do at this moment? So there's teaching, the way that we need to think about life. There's the rebuke aspect, the boundaries God brings. There's the instruction in righteousness. Okay, now what, Lord? Now what do I do? I've offended this person. How do I restore the relationship here? And that instruction in righteousness is important. And then finally, it says that the man of God or woman of God may be furnished to all good works. And the Bible, lastly here, equips us for serving Jesus. And this is just so neat. I mean, the Lord's basically telling us, look, the Lord wants to mold us so that we can be used of Him. so that we can be complete, okay, perfectly, the idea of complete, so that we can be complete, completely enabled to serve Him every day. And that points back to our challenge of last night. Hey, the Word of God impacts me. I want to impact other people. And boy, if I'm going to be effective in impacting others, where does that start? Well, it starts right here with God's Word, recognizing the layers by which it can impact me. And so the Bible equips us for serving Jesus. Okay. All right. So I want to go ahead to turn the page and get into just briefly our next study. And that centers around this question. Remember, I told you there's three questions that we're going to ask in relation to how to read the Bible. And the first question we're going to ask is, what do I see? What do I see? Some of you may understand that observing something is often more than just seeing something. Okay? There are a lot of things throughout the day that we see, but we don't observe. In fact, if someone was to ask us later on about what we've seen, we probably would have a hard time bringing that back around. Okay? Observing is much more than seeing. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Go there. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Only have a couple minutes left, but I want to at least dip into the pool here of this point and then leave it with you. Psalm 119. And then verse 18. And this is the idea of, Lord, you know, help me to observe, not just see. And verse 18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. There was a famous scientist that spent some time in the classroom. He was training people, and he came alongside his students and he said, okay, listen, we're going to really take some time to observe. And so what he did was he brought in a fish. He stuck it, a bunch of fish actually, stuck them on the dissecting trays and put them in front of the students. And he said this, okay, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to take the next 35 minutes and I want you to observe this fish. And so, you know, they're sort of put off by the fact that they're going to spend 25 minutes observing a fish. But nonetheless, they took it up and they began to, you know, observe, you know, writing down different things, taking notes, that sort of thing. Class period was over. They came back the next day and they put the fish back out in front of them and said, okay, I want you to take the next 35 minutes to observe this fish. Everybody kind of looked at each other, and they looked at their professor, sort of puzzled, like, okay, is he confused? We already did this yesterday. I mean, these are my findings. This is what I got. And so one of them spoke up and said, yeah, we did this yesterday, you know, and he said, yeah, I know you did it yesterday, but you're going to do it again. And, you know, they kind of protested, don't you want to see my notes? And no, I don't want to see your notes. I want you to get out a clean sheet of paper, and I want you to observe more, okay? I want you to add to your observation. And so they did. They filled out another one. He did this for a week. And at the end of the week, the depth of observation that was there was far greater than what they just saw on the first day. And the point is, and we're going to develop this a little bit more next week, but we are guilty so often when we read the Bible of just seeing, but not really observing. And I challenge you this week, as you read the book of Proverbs, don't just see words on a page, but take time to observe. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit of God can work in our hearts. We're not looking at a fish, we're looking at the living Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this precious, precious book that you've given to us, Lord. Most of us in this room have multiple copies. We have digital copies. Lord, it's embarrassing when we think about how many people around the world don't have what we have. But Lord, I pray that none of us would be, Lord, guilty of maybe that class, Lord, who just thought, hey, I'm going to look at this and it's going to be over in a couple minutes. Lord, I pray that we would look deeper into your word. And Father, take great interest and that your Holy Spirit would teach us as we do. We'll give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.